AM 1490, FM 105.5, WGCH and WGCH.com anywhere. The WGCH National News Report on the hour at 8. I'll be back with our top local stories at 8:05. Then half an hour from now at 8:21, I'll be joined by Lana Jiffis, who's Executive Director of the Women's Mentoring Network. They've got an event coming up. WGCH News Center time is 7:51, joined on the line now by State Representative Kimberly Fiorello of Greenwich. Good morning, Representative. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Tony. Very great to be here with you, and good morning to everybody.
All right, fantastic. Let's get an update with just a few weeks to go in the session. What are some of the things, I guess one thing we could ask you about is the executive orders that passed by the Senate and I guess on to the House, extending the governor's executive orders into July. You've been an outspoken critic of these. Tell us about that.
Well, yes. They have been extended again further through to July 20th. So I think that anybody who is upset with this can certainly hold their Democrat legislators responsible, senators and representatives, because this is basically one-party rule in our state. But as I often say, they derive all their power from the people of Connecticut. So they have continued to keep your Capitol shut. Your legislative office building is closed, and the Capitol building remains closed to the public. And this is amidst the governor himself saying that, you know, Connecticut is open for business. And he's been wonderful in acknowledging that, you know, we are the first state to reach 50% of the adult population with vaccinations, and that should have corollary freedoms that return. And I am so grateful that the governor addresses that. But the legislature, the Senate and the House, continues to extend his emergency, you know, public health and preparedness, civil preparedness powers. And now it will be through July 20th.
What are they saying the reasons for extending these executive orders?
They're the same reasons they've stated before. You know, it's a continued feeling that he needs the powers to react and respond. And, you know, their belief that we remain in a state of fear and concern. I think concern is legitimate, but fear is not. And I just don't agree. It changes the definition of the word emergency if it goes on month after month after month. And it's also quite contrary to our saying that we have to return to normalcy, whether it's for our students, our families, our businesses. We have to get back to being open and meeting each other in person, being able to, you know, access, go to the library, go to school, go to shops, go to restaurants. It doesn't, you know, as often you see what they say, what they do, politicians, that is, it doesn't always make sense.
All right. This week, Republicans in the House blocked an effort to have voters decide whether to allow no excuse absentee ballots. Tell us why that happened.
So when it comes to, you know, of course, our town has four major train stations. We are a commuter town. The convenience of whether it's early voting or no-excuse absentee voting is completely understandable. The issue with the referendum that will come before the public in a future year is that the questions are extremely vague, and they are purposefully left open because their point is give them the power to change the state constitution first, and the rest will be figured out afterwards. When it comes to absentee, a very important distinction is, are we talking about solicited or unsolicited? And, you know, will we be continuing the way we do it now, which is you have to fill out an absentee ballot application. You request the absentee ballot, or will we have mass absentee ballot mailings to the people of Connecticut? And when you do expand absentee, a very important thing that has to be balanced and matched is signature verification. The National Vote at Home Institute, which is an amazing nonprofit organization that helps to promote voting from home, which they acknowledge is convenient and can be safe and secure, they really emphasize the importance of the security, and they talk about the importance of having signature verification. So Republicans want to expand absentee voting. Absolutely. We recognize that it's always nice to make it convenient. However, it has to be matched with increased accountability. And I think when we only speak of convenience and comfort in voting, we miss the opportunity to speak of the responsibility and commitment to this republic to vote. Voting is a right, it's a privilege, but it's also a duty that requires action on the part of each citizen, you know, to consider issues, the candidates, and make a choice. So, and voting has to be, you know, one vote per one citizen. I don't think wanting to have the signature verification is a partisan issue. In fact, in the middle of COVID, when we were going to do the mass mailing of absentee ballot applications, there was a Democrat senator from Bridgeport and Stratford. He was the sole no vote in the entire legislature. A Democrat senator, and his reasoning is because he knows that absentee ballot is ripe for fraud, and he did not want to see that expansion. Those are not my words. Those are his words quoted in the newspaper as well. The amendments to include language for signature verification was rejected, and that is why we don't feel that it's right to bring forward a referendum that says, that leaves it open and basically gives politicians, you know, a blank check to do what they want and craft absentee ballots as they wish. And we feel that the legislature should do the work that they are hired to do, voted to do, consider the issues, and put forth a detailed and specific referendum to the people of Connecticut.
All right, we're going to end it there. State Representative Kimberly Fiorello of Greenwich, thanks for joining me this morning. Have yourself a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Have a great day, everyone.
That's State Representative Kimberly Fiorello. And next week, it will be State Senator Alex.